Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Has been removed from us, the safety that we've been feeling before has been taken away from us. It's been taken away from the West. So we've always relied on the NHS. I don't know about you, but whenever I get ill, my first thinking is I'll go to the doctor. I'll do this. I'll do that. Whenever I have a problem, I know that I can go somewhere to get it resolved before going to God. But actually, in this season, where we're in an unprecedented season where we need to rely on God in a new and fresh way. And that is scaring a lot of the people around us because their foundations are being removed. Now, that makes an exciting moment for the church because God is our new foundation. Today, we're going to be looking at Revelation 21 and 22, which talks about eternity. So it talks about the age to come. It's a new thing that John sees in Revelation 21, where he's not talking about now, here, present. He's talking about the time to come, eternity. God placed eternity in each one of our hearts. That's what Ecclesiastes 3 verses 11 says. It says, God placed eternity in man's heart. Now that means that there's a longing in man for eternity, a feeling like we should be eternal. And that's because God created us to be eternal. You know, in the beginning, he created us to be eternal. And it was only when sin came into the world that death, destruction, and decay came into the world. And that feeling in our hearts is still there for eternity. And that's why all these temporary things hurt so much. Why it hurts so much when people die, why it hurts so much when things go wrong, why it hurts so much when people around us are struggling and fearful. Because we have eternity and we have the expectancy of eternity in our hearts. And all the people around you have eternity in their hearts. They have this desire for eternity. Now, my question to you is, how much time do you spend thinking about eternity? Do you spend any time thinking about what it's going to be like? I think most people have this kind of this vague kind of idea, oh, when I die, I'll go to heaven and I'll be with God and it'll be all hunky-dory and it'll all be fine. As long as I believe in Jesus, I'll go up to heaven and that's where I'll have my eternity. Now, I want to tell you that that is not what the Bible teaches what eternity is like. It's not about us going off to be taken off into heaven. And we'll read that in Revelation 21. Now, just before I go there, I just want to caveat it. I just want to put a caveat in there that actually I believe that now if we as Christians die with faith in Jesus, then we will go to be with God. We will go to be in heaven, worshipping God. I believe Revelation 4 and 5 teaches us that right now the saints who have died before us are in God's presence in heaven, worshipping around his throne. And I believe we have that assurance that actually, if we were to die now before the end of the time, before the end of this time, then we will go and worship God in an instant, immediately. I believe that's what scripture teaches. I believe that's what we've learned in Revelation. But I don't believe that's the end place. So let me just read Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8 to you. This will give us a real firm foundation. So it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Amen. So that teaches us what eternity actually is. So it begins. There's my first point. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. There is going to be a time when Jesus returns. There's going to be a time when he comes back to the world and he brings this age to an end. This earth will be no more. Heaven will be no more. And he will create a new heaven and a new earth. And that will have some resemblance to the earth that we have today. I believe that will have some resemblance of what we recognize today. Some people argue, like, is God going to create a whole new earth out of nothing, like destroy everything that is here? And I don't believe that is the case. I believe if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, it teaches a little bit about how the body and the resurrection is. And it talks about the body dying and it being like a seed. So today's body is like a seed. And the body of heaven is an immortal body, which is kind of similar to what we have now, but it has immortality in it. So it will be recognizable, but it will be different. And I believe that is something like what the earth will be like. The new heaven and the new earth will be created out of what we have now. And I believe it will look similar. I believe it will have similarities. I believe it will be a physical place where we are. I believe it'll be completely different as well. It'll be completely new. It won't have the pain. It won't have the hurt. It won't have the anger in it, the frustrations, the difficulties. It'll be completely new. Now, there's a bit in there which says that there won't be any sea anymore. Now, I think that means that actually, it means that there's no chaos there anymore. So I don't believe that that's teaching that in heaven there'll be no water. I pray it's not. I quite like the water myself. I quite like the sea. I quite like surfing and swimming and enjoying it. I believe in heaven there'll be all these things full of joy. In eternity there will be. You see, I've even said it there, in heaven. I've got this kind of thing in my head, in heaven. Whereas actually, it's the new earth. And I believe that's where most of us will be, the new earth. I think that's where all of us will be, the new earth. Now that means that there'll be no sea, means that the chaos will be gone. You see, in Jewish theology, the sea represents a place where chaos and evil come out of. In Revelation, there's lots of, I think there's two times where it talks about beasts coming out of the sea. And that's to represent actually that the sea is a place of chaos, but actually, it doesn't mean that there's no physical water. It means that chaos will be ceased. It means that all things which are chaotic will be no more. There'll be no more viruses that come and undercut us. There'll be nothing that can take us away from that. And so that's what, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be a physical new creation, which we will live on the earth. And I hope by the end of this talk, you'll want to live on the earth rather than be in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
The next two bits talk about this. They talk about something which is amazing. It talks about the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven down to earth. It talks about a city from heaven coming down to be on the earth. And it's an amazing city. It's an incredible city. It's a city where there's golden streets. It talks about it later. If you read about the New Jerusalem in 21 verse 9 onwards, it talks about there being walls made out of gemstones and precious gems. It talks about it being an amazing place and an incredible architecture. It talks about gates which are so big but made out of one single pearl. It talks about these amazing things which are great rich things. And that is heaven's city coming down to be on this earth.
Come on.
And it talks about it being this amazing place where we can live. So I would advise you, don't long to be in heaven. Long to be on the earth. Long to be on the new earth where God's city will be. where God's city will be here. Now, the thing that struck me later on when I was reading was actually that it said it was, if you read 21 verse 15, it talks about the size of that city, and it says 12,000 stadia and 144 cubits. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really do measurements in stadia and cubits, so I don't actually get that revelation. But when I was reading about this, I realized that they are really, 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 really big numbers. Is that they're not little, they're not small. It's not like London. London's quite small in comparison with this city. This is a huge, huge city. Now, what does that tell us about God? It tells us about a God who wants to save many, many people.
Come on.
About a God who wants to fill a city full of believers. It talks to me about lots and lots and lots of people coming to know Jesus. It talks to me about a God wanting to save many, many people. And that this should be our confidence. This fact that this city is so big, God wants to save many people from many nations. And I believe in this season when, you know, in the West, as I've said just before, the rug has been taken from under our feet and we're looking for a new foundation. Friends, family, colleagues, people all around us are looking for a new firm foundation. When I came to faith, my testimony is that my life had gone pear-shaped. Something had gone wrong in my life. I'd broken relationship with people. When I'd relied on all my friends, they'd all disappeared. And I went looking. The foundations that I'd built my life on had been taken away. And in that moment, Jesus came and saved me. Amen. Jesus came and opened my eyes so that I could know him. Jesus used that moment when I was weak, when I was vulnerable, to come in and to be my strength, to come in and bring salvation. Have this confidence that God wants to save your colleagues. He wants to save your friends. He wants them to be in this eternal city with him. He's created enough space for them. That's my confidence, and that should be our confidence. This big, amazing city, God wants to fill it with his people. God wants to fill it with the people around you. He wants to save your friends and family. Not only will there be this amazing city, but actually the best thing about this city is that God himself will dwell in that city. That's what it says. It says that God will be in that city. It says that the city will not need a temple anymore, because God himself will be the temple. It's that God's presence will be there day and night. It says that we don't need the sun anymore because the sun will be replaced by the shining light of God himself being present.
Come on.
Be there as our lamp. How incredible is that? The whole of Scripture has worked towards this point. The whole of Scripture works towards the point where God will dwell with us richly. You look in, that's the thing that was lost. When the fall happened in in Genesis 3, what was lost was the presence of God continually being there for all people. It says in Genesis that Adam and Eve used to walk and have face-to-face conversation with God. That was lost because of sin. And then all through Scripture, you read that God is trying to presence himself here with mankind. So he builds a temple. He makes a way for sin to be dealt with by animal sacrifice. And then he builds a temple and comes and dwells in that temple. But still, there's curtains in the way, there's things in the way, and you have to respect it. And if you don't, you die, because God's presence is that powerful. And then there's a greater way that we live in today. We live in today a place where Jesus died so that we could know his presence, and that all who believe in him will have his presence.
Amen.
But still, there's something lacking. I don't know about you. I've had wonderful, wonderful times of God's glory. I've had times where I've just been in his presence and I've loved experiencing him and seeing him afresh. But they're still lacking, because when I come out of those times, there's still this temporary pain all around me. There's still these things which go on and I'm like, oh, what the heck is this about? What is going on here? This pain, this hurts. Now, I believe God's presence is upon us. I believe God's presence is here. I believe it's powerful. I believe it's poured out upon us. But I believe there's something greater to come. I believe there'll be a time where the temporary goes away and the eternal comes, and God's presence will be there. And in God's presence, there's no pain. In God's presence, there's no suffering. Have you ever thought about this? The God of all heaven will wipe away your tears. He will wipe away your tears.
Andy,
you'll sorry about this. In his presence. Oh, sorry.
If you can't hear, some people are saying they can't hear. You might have to come out and come back in again. Sorry about this. I don't know what.
No. Can you hear?
If you can't hear, can you raise your hand up? If you can't hear. I've had two people say, Angela, can you hear now? Sorry, I've had people say they can't hear.
That's all right.
You can? Okay.
Is it faint?
No, you're okay. It's just too sound. Yeah, it's working now. It must be Zoom. Guys, listen, you're doing really well. We're doing the best we can with the technology. You wouldn't normally get me jumping in on a preacher like that. But Andy is well seasoned and he can handle this, can't you, Andy? Come on.
Sure, of course I can.
Lord Jesus, mate. There you go.
You see, in heaven, in eternity, we won't have these problems.
No.
Zoom problems don't exist like this.
Praise the Lord, that is the Lord.
No virus to stop us talking face to face. But there'll be nothing there to separate us from the glory of God. And there's passages where it talks about God, people experiencing the glory of God. It talks about, in Isaiah 6, it talks about people being around God's throne and just being taken away in his glory. Now, I want to encourage you to think about the eternal this week, to think about eternity, to think about what it'll be like, to think about actually, it's not me disappearing off out of this world. It's actually about God coming down and being on this world with his people as he always intended. That was God's intention in the beginning, and it's God's intention now. Mm. And he wants to bring you into it. He wants to bring others into it. Dream about eternity. Dream about the presence of God. The one difference that Moses said about his people was that they had the presence of God upon them.
Amen.
And in this season, know that the one difference about you isn't about your wisdom and intellect and all of the blessings that you can bring. It's the fact that you have the presence of God upon you. But long for them more. And have that in mind when you're talking to people, because they need to know Jesus in order to have this eternity as well. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we have this eternity. Think about that. Really, really think about that in this moment. People need to know and hear about Jesus. Mm. Colin, I love your stories. I love hearing that you're outside Tesco's telling people about Jesus. I hope you're doing it from 2 meters, but I really love it. It's really good. The last thing I just want to highlight is this. It kind of caught me off guard a little bit, because there's some things in the list of sins which God detests, which, you know, I expect to be there. The idolaters, the murderers, I expect them to be there, the things that we easily detest. But the list actually begins with two things which I think are a bit of a challenge to me and to you. So it says this in Revelation 21, verse 8. As for the cowardly and the faithless, that's how the list begins. Now I want to challenge you. The opposite of cowardly is courageous. The opposite of faithless is faith-filled. How in this season are you being courageous and faith-filled? How in this season are you being filled with God's courage so you can bring encouragement and courage to other people? Mm. In this season, is your faith bringing courage into your life? Are you praying and asking God, what courageous acts can I do in this season in order to bring God's power into people's lives? And then faithfulness. How are you being faithful in this season? How are you being faith-filled in this season? Are you Are you being faithful to God? Are you worshiping him? Are you creating time and space to pray and to long for him? Are you creating space to enjoy his presence? And are you being faithful to him in all that you do? Are you being faithful to the words that he speaks? And they're the two challenges that I think come out of that for me the most. Just as I end, I believe this is something that God highlighted to me as well. Towards the end of Revelation 22, it talks about John starting to worship an angel. Now, that to me is unthinkable. He's just had all of these revelations of how you should only worship God. You should only worship at the throne of Jesus. You should only worship the Lamb. You should only worship God. And yet at the end of Revelation, after he's had all these amazing revelations, he starts worshiping an angel. And the angel has to check him and say, "Don't worship me. I am a created being just like you are. Do not begin to worship me in this moment." And John is challenged in that moment. I think it takes great humility for a writer to be this authentic, to write that he's made that mistake, even after seeing all this revelation. Now, I believe that many of you might have had revelations in times of glory, but you might have just slipped into some idolatry, to some worshipping of created things, worshipping of created order. And I believe us as a culture have done that as well. We worship the created order more than we worship God in some ways. And I just want to put that out there as a fresh revelation. Check yourself. God is gracious. You are in Christ, but he longs for your worship. In this moment, just be a people of worship. Don't worship created order. Check yourselves. Be challenged. Fantastic. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you to have fresh revelation of eternity. So if you just put yourself in a posture where you hear from God, hands up or eyes closed or however it is that you hear from God, just be prepared for his presence to come because he loves to blow through.
More Lord.
Yeah, come Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit.
God,
I thank you that you have given us an eternity, Lord Jesus. I thank you that through the blood of Jesus, we have eternity given to us forevermore. I thank you, Father, that you are our Father, that we are adopted in, Lord Jesus, as your sons and daughters. And I pray for each of my brothers and sisters here today, Lord, that we would have a fresh revelation of you this week, Lord. That our minds would be drawn to worship of you, Lord Jesus. I pray that we'd have dreams, we'd have visions, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would encounter you. I pray that moments, Lord Jesus, where we have decisions of whether we worship the idolatrous things or whether we worship you, I pray that you would strengthen us to worship you, Lord Jesus.